Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to All Mister Podcast, episode 142 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Today's topic is mixed bag.
Mixed bag. Bag of mixed stuff. Bag of fucking mixed grill.
I don't know why you chose that title, really, Barry.
It's just fucking cover all in it. It's got, we haven't really got a topic. We've got so much stuff to catch up on. We're not going to run out of time. I guarantee it. No doubt. No doubt.
It won't be me.
it won't be you, because what are you doing? What are you fucking painting?
Minas Tirith captain.
Minas Tirith captain. Why captain's back?
My hero. Yeah.
Why the generics back? I thought they were shite now.
Generics.
Generic captain.
Yeah. He is a named character, but I can't remember. Right. He's not. He's like, I'm just finishing off my Minas Tirith like stuff. You know, like I was just so.
Stick him up to the camera, see if you can identify him. Have a readers.
Guy with a shield, sword.
Are you sure his name? Who the fuck is he?
He's like a minor hero in the game. Like, he's, you know, like, I mean, I think he's worth less than a generic captain.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, he's that level below.
Beragond, that kind of level. Hero.
Yeah, he's not Beragond, but he is that level, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Right, excellent. So, discuss the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Or any of the other elephants. The fucking world's burning, but good luck with that.
Okay, yeah, go on. What's the elephant in the room then?
Well, which one? There's too many elephants. We don't need to discuss the elephants. There's orange elephants. There's virus-ridden elephants. There's fucking... there's all kinds of madness. We don't need to talk about that. We'll talk about warmer. We need a break from all that fucking horrible shit.
Oh, he's talking about the pandemic. Okay, yeah.
Sure. Whatever. Yeah. So tell me what's been happening in Paul's world. Apart from the eBay, we don't need to hear about fucking eBay.
Well, I don't. Basically, I don't understand eBay. Yeah, like I've just like, as in, that's what I've come to the recent conclusion of. Is just like I don't like. So I've sold a lot of Phil Ill stuff and original OG Phil, and some things of mine as well. And I had a set of Necromunda Tactics cards, which are yeah. So are basically a product, some cards. The RIP in at a tenner, and I was like, okay, they should. I imagine they'll go for twice, you know, the amount because they're currently out of print, or maybe three times. You know, I'll be happy to make my money back. It doesn't really.
Well, normally there'd be like a fiver because they're second cards.
Exactly, it's like they're used. I put them up to eBay. He keeps on auction because I couldn't see one. I couldn't see one on eBay, and I was like, well, that doesn't mean like they're particularly rare. I'm sure. And it kept ticking over. I just couldn't believe how much money it took away. It took away, at the end, it went for £215, like, for a thing that was RRP £10 when it was...
But have they paid?
Yeah.
Have they paid?
Yeah, yeah, that was the thing. It was like, maybe...
And have they given you feedback to say they've got it and they're happy?
Well, no, that's gone off to America, so, like, that'll... take a long time.
America? Holy fucking moly. Don't you have to pay import duty on stuff if it's over $20 or something?
I don't know. So like
holy at the moment, fucking the moment, moly.
Like as you know, it's been transferred to me. But then equally, after I put Hazel down, I'd sold Phil's HeroQuest set, you know, the original like box game. It was, you know, so I was told it was a complete set. When I looked over it, it looks complete, you know, like, all the models are there, the furniture's there. Off we go. I had an email come back, despite me packaging this thing up, and wrapping everything up totally. Like, you know, as in a bubble wrapping it. The guy says that the tape I used to seal the box down damaged the box, but the box already had split ends, so it was already damaged. Right. So, like, and he's telling me that the tape, like, he sent me a picture of a slight tear on one of the box sides, and it's like, and that was caused by him removing the tape. And you're like, does he really bother you? Like,
yeah. That's obviously worth money to somebody else. That's fair. I don't know how much money, but money.
But it's like the box was damaged, advertised as damaged, took photos of it, of the fact that it was damaged. And then in delivery, it's gotten more damaged. Yeah, but like, honestly, Barry, in like a tiny way. And I'm like, the first way instant response to like, my response back to that would be like, get a life. Like, what are you even bothering to tell me that about? But obviously, I said, oh, I'm terribly sorry, blah, 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 blah. And then the response back from that was that, oh, there's a cave-in token missing. And I'm like, you get like more than you need in the box game. It's like, I didn't even know there was an itinerary of them. And apparently there's on the furniture had like, because it was like a nice little set, like, I had like little decorations. Apparently on one of the pieces of furniture, there's a rat and the rat isn't there. Like this.
Oh, I remember that on the table, you had a little plug-in fucking rat.
Yeah. And the rat isn't there. And I'm like,
well, you didn't specify the rat wasn't there. How much money does he want off? What's the comeuppance?
Well, that's the thing. It's just like, well, if he does ask for a refund, it's a partial refund.
What do you want, fella? 10%?
Well, like, of the total box games thing that makes is a bit of aesthetic, you want 10p back, do you? Like,
no, yeah. I don't know. What do you want? 5%, 10%? Who knows? Tell me what you want, fella.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, that's really worth my time reading. Thank you. Like,
let me tell you now, it is a buyer's market, eBay.
Oh, I know, totally. And that's what you go into this thing, like I say, knowing. But
if anything goes wrong, eBay ain't standing behind you, and neither are PayPal.
No, I know that, but it's just like, I mean, some people, that's the problem with it selling it, is it's like, it's people will be never happy.
Yeah, but also, if you say something's 100% complete, and I'm somebody who likes to hoard stuff and have complete stuff, yeah, I'm not going to be happy with 99% complete.
Even if, like we're describing, something that has no relevance in the game.
I want the fucking rat, mate. I paid for the rat. God damn it.
Different. I mean, I wouldn't even notice it wasn't there.
Yeah, but that's because your brain's not wired the same way.
Yeah, but I wouldn't notice it, and B, even if I did notice it, I couldn't be bothered to, like, point it out.
Yeah, but this fella would have obviously had to go to the internet to find a list, an inventory list, because it didn't exist in the box, and then print that out and check the shit against it.
But why?
Because that's how his brain works.
Yeah, but why? Like, why doesn't he just do something more valuable with his time?
Because if he ever wanted to resell it, he can't sell it as 100% complete because he knows it's not.
Okay.
It's like when you get a magic card, right? There are different grades of cards. There's like the mid card, they're the Holy Grail, NM.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're worth more than all the other cards by like maybe 15, 20%, whatever. Can be like double in value potentially. Yeah. But if they're not near mint, they're not near mint. So if you buy a near mint card and it's not near mint, you can never then sell it as near mint. So people get really fucking antsy.
But how do you quantify what's near mint and what's not?
Well, that's it. It's got to have nothing. It's got to have if these people who you shuffle cards, like as part of the process of playing a draft, you like shuffle your cards and pass them on, they're no longer near mint because you've shuffled them. So they've got shuffleware, even if it's mine.
Shuffleware? After what? Say, after one use?
After one shuffle, yeah. Easy.
Mate, it's just... this is why I'm not a professional seller, I guess. Yeah, like...
the answer is always be honest with your thing, and then you can't go wrong.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if
99.9% complete, I think. I am looking for the fucking rats or stickers.
I counted the game pieces, like, as in... And,
the four
like,
men are here.
Well, the heroes are there, or the monsters are there, all the pieces of furniture are there. Like, I tried. Yeah. It seemed like, and then I wrapped everything up individually.
So you've also been playing Warhammer Quest, yeah? That's the only other thing.
Yeah, yeah. So on Tabletop Simulator, we also played Warhammer Quest, and that went really well, actually.
Everybody died. What a fucking surprise.
Well, yeah, because everyone's supposed to die. It's Warhammer Quest. You're like,
what's the point of the fucking game if I turn up, play for a night and die? What's the point?
Well, that's why. Because you've been playing, like, it's a question here, because you've been playing Gloomhaven, and yeah, you've been able to attend sessions, more sessions than me. But it's like, you know, so in Warhammer Quest, it's very difficult, and if you do well, it's surprising if you do well. But I find, isn't that more enjoyable than just, like, coasting through an adventure?
There's no coasting through Gloomhaven. It's hard work. But what Gloomhaven is a co-op game. So you can't win without playing as a team. You just won't.
Yeah.
In fact, you can die as long as the rest of them finish the quest and you all finish the quest. So it almost encourages you to, like, self-sacrifice and stuff.
It's
a really good game. The weird bit is I feel guilty because now I'm playing it so much on this, I probably won't buy the physical game, because the physical game, you actually have to damage it in playing it, bizarrely.
Use things, one-use only items,
and you've got cards that you're supposed to rip up, and you've got stickers that you put on that don't come off and stuff. The game is basically a one-use game.
Well, but that one use is a massive amount of time.
Yeah, for sure. Like 120 adventures at 2-3 hours an adventure. So, you'd be lucky to play it more than once ever. But you really can't.
Yeah.
so online we're playing it, and it's.
But hang on. Are you playing it in other groups as well?
No.
No. Okay. So you've only scratched the surface of it.
We're probably about 6 or 8 adventures in now. We're getting there. It's the surface. But why would I now go out and buy this game when I'm complaining for free?
Well, it's not the same experience, is it?
But we may not have that experience for a long time to come, fella. I don't know if you keep it up.
Maybe.
Where my mum and dad live, they're apparently gone over one today. I know we're not supposed to talk about this shit, but they could be going back to fucking lockdown.
No, they could be. Well, they could not.
Well, he's going to come down on his own unless fucking there's a miracle coming.
Well, I mean, if we go into that, that's a long conversation of which I have some opinions.
For this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. But you told me I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Or me. So Blackgate Miniatures, Gloomhaven, I'm loving it. It's fucking brilliant. Brilliant. Really.
Okay, so what, in your impression, what makes it good?
It's the co-op stuff. It's the fact that every person in the party has strengths and weaknesses, and you have to play to your strengths and minimize your weaknesses, and work as a team. And you really, the fact that your cards are your life. You do have life as well, but if you run out of health or cards, you're out.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of resource management. There's a lot of tracking, and it is fucking. It's hard, man. There's like. You can have to wage your, not like Advanced Hero Quest or what, Warhammer fucking Quest hard where you just die. You can do this stuff. There is it's balanced to be able to be done.
Yeah,
now, but you really have to work at it. You kind of have to work hard to get it done.
Yeah.
So there's a sense of achievement, and also one of the greatest things is if your character gets too powerful. Because at the moment, I think Nick's running ahead. He's like miles ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
Scenario, because he gets so much experience for what he does. But anyway, when his character gets to a certain point, rather than his character being too powerful for the game, he has to retire the character and get a new one.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Start again.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than worrying about how do I keep this character relevant and keep the game like a challenge... Once you get to a certain level, your character just goes. He just retires, goes, sits on the beach.
It had a very good reputation, didn't it, Gloomhaven, for what it was. You know, like, and yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was like, to me, it was good, but it didn't stand out as being amazingly different from like as an experience from other dungeon crawlers. But obviously, it's working for you.
Yeah, but it's like when I played. What did we play? Advanced Hero Quest.
Yeah.
It was like, It was like going back and trying to play a Sega Mega Drive. I got this nostalgia here.
Yeah, but it is old.
Yeah, but there's a bit of nostalgia, and it's like, oh, this game was really good. I played for about 10 minutes ago. This is fucking rubbish, man. There's a reason nobody plays these fucking games anymore, because they're not very good. They're kind of... The world's moved on.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, so you're saying the mechanics in that one were dated, yeah.
What, when I got a magic weapon and it was worse than my fucking regular weapon?
Well, I really stuck in your claw, didn't it? Like...
Yeah, because I had to work hard to loot this fucking chest to get this magic weapon or whatever it was, and it turned out to be a pile of shit. It was worse.
I mean, in Gloomhaven, because I'm, you know, like how to say, you've done a lot of these sessions when I've been at work, like, because you're obsessed with getting said loot. What do you do with it?
Oh, well, that's the great bit, because not all the loot's relevant for me. And even if loot is relevant for me, if you find a piece of loot, another identical piece of loot gets put in the shop. So somebody else can get that loot.
Mm.
And if the loot's not relevant for me, I just sell it to the shop for half price. And then there's two of them in there.
Well, yeah, because to me, the development of your characters, it sounds like, okay, I'll compare it to Warhammer Quest. Like, there's more interesting development in Warhammer Quest. But if you say there is development, then okay, fair enough.
Yeah, there's a lot to that, yeah. If anybody's not played Gloomhaven, if you can find a group of three or four of you to commit to it, maybe wait till after this madness or play it on Tabletop Simulator. It is. Working my fucking nuts off. Right, around homeschooling and running the house and all the other things, trying to get some of this Blackgate miniature stuff done. And then I got knocked with a 28-day lockdown.
Yeah, I really don't understand that as clinical advice to these guys.
But hey, listen, mate, she was on the phone to me for 40 minutes. So, I mean, that's her job. He's ringing six of me every day and telling me all the things I can and can't do, which basically can't do fucking anything apart from go out for my exercise once a day.
So hang on, what, like a contact tracer's calling you?
No, like, so I've got to go in for a test. It's a test I've had like three or four times in my life, but I haven't obviously had one recently. But I need to have one relatively soon, else I wouldn't be having it done. So they booked me in the test, and they said the test was like 15 days' time. I said, all right, so okay, that's cool. And then the next day, a woman rang me up, a nurse, and she went through all the things I can and can't do, and the fact I've got to be COVID tested, and I've got to isolate now for 14 days, and then I've got to isolate for 14 days when I come out. It's like a social contract, isn't it? Yeah, I could say, no, I'm not going to fucking do it, bollocks. But... The life of a mole person is when you're told to fucking isolate. You've got to isolate, haven't you?
Well, if you say so. To me, considering, well, I work in a hospital, so, like, you're just getting told rote advice, you know, which is just blankly given out. I mean, sounds a bit just too excessive to me, to be honest.
I mean, like, want me to bring it in, and then if I bring it out, they don't want me going anywhere.
Yeah, but you might get contracted with the virus on the drive to the hospital.
Like, I walked to the hospital on my own.
Well, yeah, like, it's like it, this, you know, really, really, it should be like, have you been unwell in the past 2 weeks?
So, like, the funniest bit was I wanted to have a sedative for this procedure. So I said to the woman, but I ain't going to have anybody pick me up. I'm just going to walk home. She said, well, you can't. I said, well, look, I only live like literally 10 minutes walk from the hospital. Because the hospital is in Broomfield, I live in Broomfield. I'm just going to walk home. And she said, you can't. You got somebody's got to pick you up. I said, well, how am I going to self-isolate and get somebody to pick me up?
Yeah. What was the answer?
Am I going to get a cab? Am I going to get somebody who I don't live with because my wife doesn't drive? I've now got to get somebody to pick me up when I'm supposed to self-isolate. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. So what did they say to that?
She said, well, you don't have the sedative then. I said, well, or maybe I'll tell you I'm going to get picked up. Whatever.
I mean, obviously, you're going to do what you choose to do, but realistically, the thing is, the advice is, if you, like, when I screen people in minors, you know, it's past 2 weeks I've had symptoms, and then that means something to us, not a lot really, like, but it means something to us. So really, that's the same advice to you, you know, like, it is to me. So before you, like, mark the day that it's 2 weeks before. If you feel unwell at any of those points, then you know,
they rang me 2 weeks before. That was the day they rang. So basically, I'm anyway. So the only upside of that is that I was going to go to the post office to post out some of the Kickstarter to the. It turns out anybody just ordered the infantry anyway. There was only like Jim was one of them. And also, it meant I had to close my web store for a few weeks. But it really doesn't matter. The web store was taking time away from the fucking Kickstarter, if I'm being honest. Because if you've got an order that just comes in, how long can you leave it? You can't leave it there for a fucking penny. You've got to get on and do it.
Yeah.
That was taking time away from the Kickstarter as well. So the fact that that's closed down for a month is probably a good thing.
Okay, cool. Speaking of that, can I get my stuff?
I had a little bit of a kick in the balls this week in one of the flyers isn't working. So I've only got 3 flyer models and the fourth one's a bit hard work. So I'm having to get the sculptor to do another one. So you can have some copies of the 3 flyers that are ready.
Sure, yeah.
But the fourth one's not ready. It'll probably end up being 5 flyer models now because I'll try and get some copies of the fourth one and then there'll be a fifth one.
Yeah,
So that's good. I mean, more models is always good. Hopefully I can get some of them working. I had a conversation with Jim. That was very interesting. Jim the gent.
Yep.
Before this Zoom call, I had a call with him. He didn't want recording. He didn't want to come on the podcast. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talking about Cathay, because he's working on Cathay, apparently.
Well, that's going to come up in when we chat through Warmaster stuff, isn't it? Yeah, other things.
All right, no, so are you on to Warmaster World then? We can kick off on that.
It's just 2 things I wanted to mention that aren't like Warmaster related. I watched the latest series of Last Kingdom. I really quite enjoyed it.
First season, I didn't really float my boat. I like the book. I think I've read the book.
Okay. I haven't read the book. But yeah, anyway, I quite enjoyed the thing. You know, it's not on the epicness of Game of Thrones because it's rooted in like actual history of Britain. And, you know, you're dealing with, you know, like 100 people rather than 10,000 or something.
I think you've talked about this before. This was the one with the stabby stabby.
Uthred.
Stabby stabby,
But also something I got mentioned today, which actually we could make, like when we're not, we can actually make a topic about related to Warmaster, is I got described as being the best, in a war game, being the best loser, like someone who could take a loss that in a war game in a good spirit. And it's like... I'm not going to reveal that. It'll be like peeking behind the curtain too much. But it's like...
Is this why somebody that regularly beats you?
Obviously. Yeah, like... But
is it your wife?
No. It's my daughter at the moment. She knocks the shit out of me. I thought that was quite a cool... Like, that could be quite a cool topic to talk about. Like, how to be a good loser in Warmaster.
Oh, no. It's a horrible topic. One of my favourite quotes, American football quote, was if you show me a good loser, I'll show you somebody that loses. So basically, in order to win, you got to fucking hate losing.
Right, okay.
So that's why Janice wins. So I've seen Janice get close to losing so many times that he just fucking... He's like a tiger getting caged.
So anyway, well, if you don't agree, go on board with it, but that I thought would be quite
good. No, we could definitely do it, but that's what we come at it from a different perspective. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be given any awards for good losing.
I mean, have you ever won a most sporting player award?
I wouldn't even consider a thing worth winning.
You don't even, all right, see, that, yeah, that, see, that's why I make quite a good topic because I have.
Why would I
want to
win that?
It's like complete opposites of this point of view of this thing. It's just like, well, to me, it's the most important thing to win. And you don't even register it as an award.
It's like a participation medal. It's like...
Yeah, but... never mind.
Thanks for trying.
This is definitely... Not, but I don't think it should be the next one, but we should pen it in a list of ideas. Like, this is a good topic to talk about because, this works because we're different.
We need to do it more often because we're running out. We're getting too many topics backed up now.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then just quickly, you have to get a charger for the phone to like charge, so it'll charge while we're talking. Otherwise, this it's down to less than 10%. It kills the battery, like doing this YouTube, like this Zoom. I have to get just a charger for the phone. So I'm going to step out. Well, yeah, otherwise the this will cut out.
Okay, you do that. I'll start the next bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Attention. If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, right, I'm going to share a screen. Right, let's go on. Right, okay, so everybody, Paul's going, obviously, he didn't quite think through what he was going to be doing there, so I'm going to share, which I'm Morrison's grocery shopping, because now as I'm self-isolating, I had to find a way of getting shopping, and luckily Morrison's had fucking millions of them available. I was worried I was going to be stealing somebody else's slot, but there were literally millions of slots. So, that's what I'm doing, and then we want to look at this screen here, and we want to... this one here, right? So, is that sharing? I can't. Paul's not here to even ask. Well, this is a brilliant. I can't find the. Oh, there it is. You are sharing the screen. Can you see the screen?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
What does it say?
It's the Warmaster Revolution page.
Brilliant. Right. Okay. Fantastic. So, Alish, the fucking hero of, for us all, that he is. Who was it in Ghostbusters? A gatekeeper? Zool? Was it Zool?
Zool.
Gatekeeper. What? I am the key bringer. You are the gatekeeper. Him. So, he's put some rules clarifications out.
Yeah.
And that's always good. Pursuit into dense terrain. Somebody asked, can a unit retreat the enemy unit that moved more than 2 centimetres into dense terrain and therefore cannot be seen by the pursuer? That's a fucking brilliant question.
Well, yeah, but it's always got to.
I'm sure when Rick Priestley wrote these rules, he never thought about that.
Yeah, but it's got an obvious answer because, like, a pursuit happens. Like, you're talking about somebody running after somebody else. You don't let them get 30 metres ahead of you, do you?
Well, you give them 10 seconds head start and then come in.
Okay, you're going to break.
I'll find you. Right. Where have you gone?
Yep, on the count of 10, you run. It's not hide and seek. It's war.
So, of course, pursuing through dense terrain is an exception to the requirement of visibility of the pursued enemy unit, because there was a requirement for you to be able to see the unit, because it could be in your way. Other units, etc. Right, Ray's dead. Are there any other restrictions in placing a raised unit of skeletons into combat? I don't know what the original restrictions were.
In the original, it just had to be the same combat.
Right. Actually, there is one. Very nice. A raised unit cannot be placed so that it would split a combat into two separate engagements. This typically happens when an infantry unit supported by another infantry unit is charged from behind and an undead unit to the front. Yeah, so we could pull the support off effectively and fight back or whatever. It wouldn't be support, it'd be the one behind the support.
Yeah.
Right, demonic instability. What happens when a confused demon unit rolls 6 on the instability table? The unit ceases to be confused and charges the closest enemy unit. I don't know what the problem with that one was.
Because you'd have two effects happening at the same time. You'd have a confused unit that was then supposed to attack. Yeah, and it's right. It did need clarification.
So it loses confusion, then attacks, rather than tries to attack, can't.
Yeah.
And then loses confusion.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think the intent was always clear, but you've got to spell this stuff out. Flame cannon blows up when making a stand and shoot. What happens when a unit charges a single flame cannon and the flame cannon is blown up due to misfire roll? If no other units are involved in the charge, count in all respects as usual, close combat situation where units destroyed in the first round of combat. So you get to do an advance saying, but not another charge. And then there's some errata, which just basically things that have been written in wrong in the book. Like the Araby Elephant is plus two attacks, Albion Battle Spell, four to cast, Flame Cannon range 30, Graveguard five up save.
Yep.
Bolt Thrower, Dark Elf Bolt Thrower is the same as a High Elf Bolt Thrower. Risen units don't count against Breakpoint, and I think that's Beastkin. Beast her herd can count distance modifier from an ambush order.
Yeah.
So that's when you try and bring them on, they have to count the distance modifier.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Because it's the same rule as Skaven and Gutrunners.
Okay, so we can stop sharing that now. Mm-hmm. Right, and then what was our next? Are we done? Oh, have you watched any of these Peter Lamb YouTube videos?
What's that?
This is the hard bit about Facebook. And now you say, what's that? Now I've got to try...
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no. The introduction to Warmaster.
Yes.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Yeah, like I saw the production on them has been great, yeah.
Right, yeah. I heard you say, oh, I wish we'd have done that. I told you to do it, fella. You just didn't get round to it. It's not my fault.
No, it's more your fault than mine.
Is it my fault? Just get on and do it.
Yeah, because it was too hard for you.
Not too hard. It was too. I said, right. So I'm going to pull it up here. Let's see what we can get on. Learn to play YouTube. And we'll maybe even play a bit of this. You can't get done with that, can we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, they're really good. They're like,
that's fantastic. Like, that's a good little nickname. That on the lamb. That means like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those videos are what I wish we did.
That's what you said. Yeah. But there was nothing stopping you doing it.
There was. Like, you weren't keen.
I wasn't keen on editing it, that's for fucking sure. Right, yeah. Okay. So we got On the Lamb presents. Can you see this?
Yeah, I can see it.
Well, that's nice. Learn to play.
Yeah.
Warmaster Evolutions. For those of you listening to the podcast, we're watching the video for a little bit. So I'd advise you to listen to the vodcast if you're going to watch the vodcast.
Mm-hmm.
Does he talk over it?
Yeah.
What kind of voice? Morgan Freeman? American.
He's American. Well, he's American.
He's got a good voice for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
West Coast.
Yeah. That's enough. That's like, yeah, we're not here.
He's got Skaven as well. The man's got Skaven.
Mm. He does, and everything in it is lovely painted.
Wow, brilliant. Well done, fella. Well done. So, On the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find the details of it on the Warmaster GW Facebook page. Hey, come on, that's enough now. Right. Okay, so you can find the details of that on the GW Facebook page. And, you can watch that YouTube video. Yeah. That's very impressive. Well done, Peter. And I think he's doing more. And I think
he's going to do like a whole series of them, like explain, you know, go through each phase of the game, you know, and maybe in like tactics and like, you know, video as well. And I did say like it'd be cool to get featured in it, you know, as in like, you know, like we like, you know, we're featured in one of them. We'll see. I mean, obviously you've got like a big time difference between us and him.
Oh, I think he's a professional. He's a photo editor, so fucking hell, he's gonna have.
Yeah, skills. Like seeing those videos was like, hang on a sec, he's got skill in this that I don't have, you know.
My problem with it was never recording it; it was like making it worth watching. So
exactly, and it's like,
the amount of time and effort it would have taken to learn anything like that kind of skill,
yeah,
not gonna happen. Not even lockdown, not gonna happen. So well done, Peter. I think that even shook Ian into doing some more videos as well, I think.
Yeah.
Good stuff happening.
From the amazing Cromedy Forge, the third Kickstarter, Pictish Woodlanders, available until June 25th on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing we got, this is good. I can go to, I can share it on the screen again. So we go to Kickstarter Cromarty Forge, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I've got the models here.
Of course you have. I mean, that didn't take you long to grab those, did it?
No.
It's like, I've got some, I'm going to send you some models. Are you? I didn't see it.
Yeah, because what would you have done with it?
What are they called? Do you watch the Teletubbies?
Yeah.
Is that still on?
Yeah.
You know the Nunu?
Yeah.
That's you. That is the Nunu. It's like the Nunu. Right. So let's go find Cromarty Forge, and we will find the latest Kickstarter, which is this one. Right, and then we will share that. Okay. So can you see it?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Right, brilliant. So there's a video as well. I mean, we'll see what happens if we play a bit. Oh, Jesus, might have to turn that down. Ooh. Very epic. Mm-hmm. Nice. And they're going to be metal again, it looks like.
Yeah, they're in my hand here.
Duh, duh. Right, brilliant. So, this is his third Kickstarter. Now, you know, with John at Cromarty Forge, that the stuff's already made.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it.
Yeah, there you go. It's already been to the fucking caster. It's already been sculpted. And basically, it'll be shipped as soon as the fucking thing ends, which is in about 19 days. So, less than 3 weeks.
Yeah, so, it's well-funded.
So, within a month, you're going to get the miniatures in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
If only a Kickstarter could deliver like that. Some of us are fucking amateurs. But you know, this is the third Kickstarter he's done since I did the demons.
Yeah. You're lagging behind, Barry. You're looking a bit...
Well, he's going to ship his third Kickstarter before if I get out one. If you want... it's a similar deal to the last one. I think he calls them trees instead of skulls this time. So you buy how many skulls you want. You pick whichever miniatures you want. They'll be there within the month, I'm guessing.
They will be.
That's pretty impressive stuff. So if you've ever wanted dirty, filthy, fucking leadership...
I'm not quite... Which is the other range that you could do this these models in? Because he's got a few options in there aren't in a Wood Elf army.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll have him on to talk about what it is that he says you can use these as.
Because there's, I've got models here for the elfy chariots, and wood elves don't have that.
But he said Pictish, so maybe it's going to be like an Albion thing.
Yeah, maybe if he's going for Albion, then fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, what would they be? Albion are kind of like druidy bastards, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's it, Albion, maybe. And if you've backed any of these other ones, you get a free
tree,
which is a free unit. That's pretty
free good. Unit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as he unlocks the Kickstarter, he'll add more into the character set.
I wasn't overly worried about a Wood Elf army, obviously, because Wood Elves don't really ring my bell.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in some of the terrain.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So this I've got it here.
Oh, that's it. There it is.
Yeah. He's done the codes to print some War Master scaled scenery, and here I have examples in my hand. Yeah,
so they look quite big. They look quite big. So I'm guessing they're not resin print. Maybe he's doing them in. Are they resin or plastic or
resin?
Wow, that's quite a big piece, isn't it?
Yeah. but it's they are scaled, right? Like if you compared like the 10 mil scale. Like a man and a door. So yeah, that is...
Yeah,
like,
it's just a big house, isn't it?
The big townhouses, yeah. And they, like, put two pieces like that. And because I was... Somebody had asked about the durability of this 3D printed resin. Yeah, it's solid, mate. It's rock solid.
Yeah, well, resin's pretty good to drop it.
It will not... It won't break. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just because I know people who listen to us will want to know, like, but yeah, we got it about the models that he's got here, the quality of them. I mean, if you've backed any of his other two Kickstarters, you know that he's doing quality stuff. And these look fantastic as well. Like, you know, if metal is your thing, like, you know, because this does link very, it's almost ironic how with the forest dragon, which we're going to talk about, which is wood elves as well, but in like 3D home printing. I mean, to some people, they would much rather do metal than resin, wouldn't they? They prefer to work on metal models.
Well, I was talking to Jim a little bit about this in the artisan world that may exist in the future. Mm-hmm. One thing I can guarantee about metal is it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
If you melt it down at 300 degrees, it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it'll probably be, the metal miniature might still be here in like 200, 300 years time. Who knows? But
yeah, yeah.
And you can treat them pretty badly and get away with it. But it's always been my little issue with resin is that I don't like particularly working with it, and I certainly don't like trying to clean it up if anything goes wrong. Like clean.
Yeah.
But maybe you don't have to. I don't know.
So back Cromarty Forge for your wood elves and perhaps possibly Albion or the other alternative race you can like do them with, because the stuff like, yeah, I will paint up some like stands of it, like to show on social media. You know, like it looks really good. You know, like, and you know, it's not he's not gone for the look of GW like wood elves. I would say he's gone for his own interpretation of it, which you can see on the website. But they come out looking exactly like, you know, how the website shows them. Yeah, you know, I can speak for their quality, definitely.
So the next couple of topics, three topics even, including Cromarty Forge is the kind of forefront of these. It's all talking about what's happening in the world of Warmaster, where if you give talented people loads of time off work because of going on, then they're going to get on and do shit that they would never have had time to do, potentially.
So, yeah.
The world of 3D sculpting and printing has kind of had a bit of a like a nitrous oxide boost.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about here is the Forest Dragon, Patreon, where I don't know if it's more than one person have started producing the files for you to print. Again, it's wood elf. So the other thing is you wait for there's no. Been no wood elf range.
Well, that's Eureka did one.
Yeah, but it didn't have all the options of the current of lists. And now there's two.
So this whole idea is what you buy is you're a patron, you back whatever the amount is. Maybe it's $10 a month. I don't really know.
So I'll speak about that because I've become a Patreon, and it's like as a business model or like a shop front. It's very interesting. Okay, so basically, there's a $10. So this is $10 a month, like, you know, that which you pay to, you know, their guys' funds, and that unlocks you that month's like files to print. Now, does that mean that those files change every month, or do you have them all the time? Like, so
I don't know. I don't know about the back catalogue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
you don't have somebody coming in 3 years' time and downloading 36 months' worth of stuff for $10.
Well, that's to say, like, so I'll explain what you get. So at the moment, you pay $10 and you get like the welcome to the Patreon like files, which is the characters, and then you also get June's files, which is a unit of dryads, a unit of wild riders, and he can, yeah, they're called exactly that. They're not hidden in another alternative names. They are labeled up exactly.
Well, they flew quite near to the
They did already, didn't they, apparently. And then also a unit of Glade Guard, Eternal Guard, elves with spears. Now the look of these is exactly like GW's Wood Elf range, when it was in fantasy. Like they could almost be miniature versions of them, like reprinted down. I mean, like if they look in very close to GW's IP. Or at least I think they do.
Obviously, now not enough for GW to do anything about the current ones because they've come back, haven't they? So these must be okay. They must, GW must have said these ones are all right, you'd have thought.
Yeah, God knows, really. I mean, they don't look like they don't look like the AOS Wood Elves. Yeah, right. But they do look like, they look exactly like Warhammer Fantasy 8th Wood Elves. And that's for $10. So you then would print them at home. Or for $35, which is a month, you have the license to print and sell them to other people. So what I don't understand is, like, okay, so that's the premise, but I don't understand is, like, I can see ways you could exploit this, but I don't know, like, how do you stop it as the person creating it? I don't know how you do that, because already on the Warmaster group, there was somebody who's gotten a merchant license,
yeah,
and is then offering to print them on the demand.
For what money?
If somebody's doing that, then how do you, as the creator of it, how do you then get more patrons if someone is then offering to cut out the middleman, essentially?
Because they're putting in a middleman. They're not cutting out a middleman. They're becoming the middleman. You can then go to the source and just buy your own STLs and print your own stuff. But what the more interesting thing will be when the second or third person becomes another merchant seller. And then you have merchant sellers, and they're all saying, well, I'll do it for, like, eBay. I'll do it for $6. I'll do it for $5.75. I'll do it for $3. Well, it's not worth my fucking time to do it for $3.
Well, that's the thing. Is that it's not the material. It's somebody's time.
And skill to set up and do it. Yeah. As with all of these things. The process of casting miniatures, even metal ones, is very kind of laborious and mundane.
Yeah.
But there's skill to be learned over years of experience. And once you've got the skills, you've got the skills, haven't you, I guess?
Yeah. When as 3D printers become more viable, skills to create the designs, like how long that takes. Because, like, at the moment, this Forest Dragon's got 100 patrons. And so say most of them are $10 and some will be a bit more. You're taking like $1,000+ a month at the moment.
Yeah, but so that's not you can't live on that. So this
hobby. Yeah. So it's obviously that's what somebody's doing on the side, but I just don't know as I say, like, if I don't know how it's capped. Like, if the files were like, say someone in a club said, "Oh, I've become a patron of this thing," and then gave the files to other people. Like, there's no, that can't be police, can it?
But that's not the business model. The model is I sculpt a file, I sell that file that month, and then move on. It's not, I've got my grand or whatever it is. I move on and do something else. I see.
Right. Yeah.
Past gone. If somebody wants to come in and buy the old stuff, then I'll probably sell it any time you want. It won't be gone. If you came in December and wanted to buy June's one, I say, it's a tenner. There you go. Off you go. Go and have June's one as well. Another tenner. But
what happens
to the file once I've released it? It's done.
Yeah. Right. Got it. Okay. All right, I understand that. Yeah. That makes more sense to me, because I was just like, well, hang on, what's to stop people?
There is nothing to stop them. That's the whole point. Yeah. So what if you were like dishonorable, let's say, and you didn't give a shit about this guy and all the work he put in or whatever, and I'd say to you, just give me the file and I'll print it at home and I'll just cut your $10 out. But I mean, that's not very nice, is it? Because this guy's put a lot of time and effort in.
Yeah. But
I don't worry about me, and I don't worry about this guy Forest Dragon. What I do worry about is people whose whole fucking livelihoods are based on miniature production.
That's where it's
going to get messy. The privateer presses of this world and stuff.
Because if they
have to start producing STLs, well then what's to stop them being spread around? It's going to They've got big overheads. I mean, these like people like me, garage people, what's my overhead? I don't have any.
Mm.
on the flip side, I've been doing this 3 years, still not made any money. So what person in their right mind would do that?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I get that a bit better then.
But the future is going to be very, very, very messy. And I will put it on the record that I would not, under any circumstances, do what I did 3 years ago today.
Yeah.
And do traditional type miniatures today.
Mm.
Getting an artist, getting a sculptor, that's just, you're never going to be able to get enough revenue now, I would have thought, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And to finance the purchase of equipment and stuff, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah, so I've purchased a couple of the, it was called printing on in detail, I think was the what it was called on the Facebook group, of these forest dragon wood elves, just to see. I'm really intrigued to see what they handle like and how they paint up, because, you know, like I've never tried to paint something that was 3D, like home printed, so I just want to see what it's like.
Well, you do it all the time. Cromarty Forge is home printed then turned into metal.
Interesting.
So that's what people have said. Why can you not turn this forest dragon stuff into metal? Maybe somebody will be able to do it one day. Who knows? The 3D printing stuff in general, it's a little bit, I'm not going to say scary, but it's the world's going to change, and it's changing quite quickly. So I'm not sure everybody will have a 3D printer. I think it may be one per gaming group, and you just kind of, you get somebody who's a bit tech savvy to do your printing for you, and you just buy them a drink or whatever. I don't know how it'll work. But.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think people like the art. There is a certain magic in creating miniatures, I've got to be honest. Even today, I was creating some hounds to pull the chariots.
Yeah.
So once you get the molds spinning, and then you kind of, every time you open the mold, there's 12 new hounds. It's a nice feeling. It's like creating something from nothing. Liquid metal, and then suddenly you've got 12 hounds.
Yeah.
So, people will get addicted to that. And I think Jim was saying that you will end up with people who are just like compulsive hoarders who will just buy files, and that maybe they'll never get around to printing the files, or maybe they'll just print fucking stuff forever and they'll end up with 10,000 fucking points of skeletons just because they can. But people like the idea of printing stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be quite frustrating if you're not a tech person. I think it's quite a complicated thing to do, but if you are a tech person, and I can't say I wouldn't be doing it if I was in your boots.
But
hopefully next week we'll get John from Cromarty Forge on. If not, it's him or Sherwin. We've got a bit of a, and then we'll talk a bit more about Cromarty Forge, because obviously if you want stuff, and because the thing with this forest dragon stuff is there isn't an army available now. There's only like some units.
Yeah, and I'm a Patreon. I got to ask a question like, oh, so that Patreons can ask, and got it replied. And the outfit has labelled their intent to the backers, as in like they will do the whole range, and they want to do other stuff as well. So
yeah, why would you not? If he's got the time and motivation, and he's willing to do it for £1,000 a month or whatever the number will be. Then it's going to go on forever. Eventually, the whole world will be explored, won't it? The whole Warmaster world will be explored. Whether you ever get around to printing them all, I mean, because there'll be fucking millions of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet-ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber-jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
What was I looking at next? What was the next thing? Oh, the warmer, the ogre thing. What was that?
What? Dancing Yak with Free Bomberman.
Yeah, I've got a fine way of hitting it now. STLs. My first ever STLs, because I didn't know what an STL looked like. So I went and got one from Dancing Yak. Because as a kind of, what's the word? As a, sorry, taking so long. He's given away a free STL to everybody. in 28 and 10 mil. So let's see if I can share this. Share this. Share screen. This one here. Right. So, can you see it?
Yes. Yeah, I can. Yeah.
So I don't know if this is the 28 mil one.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it's estimating the cost in the bottom corner here. I don't know if it's Microsoft trying to sell print this for you for 11 quid, but you can get bent. So this is, and I don't know how you spin it round because I'm just looking at it in paint, I think. It is 3D. Oh, no, maybe 3D paint. Oh, what's going on here? Yeah, look. We can look round him. So this is what you get. Anybody can download this from the Kickstarter, because I did. I'm not a patron. I said I would have potentially been a patron because I'm kind of into your old Chaos Dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can print it out, I guess, if you want something to print out on your 3D printer, if you ever get one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was never any doubt about the quality of his sculpts.
Yeah.
But there was just never any final product in your hand. But apparently he's back on board and he's feeling better, and hopefully we'll start seeing some stuff.
Cool. I mean
that's really nice him to give that away, because that sculpt, a single 3D sculpt, can be anything up to $300 for 28 mil.
Really?
Yeah, that's what Russ, is it Russ? We work for Steamforge. That's what he
did. Yeah.
$300 a sculpt. That was a while ago. So, I mean, for him to give this away, that's the same, you know, as a gesture of goodwill to anybody who can download it.
I didn't realize that Cromarty Forge's stuff came. It was 3D printed and then metal casted around that. I didn't realise that.
Yeah. I think, I can't remember if he'd already done it or maybe it was really early on. He sent me the Slayer model, the dwarf Slayer that he sculpted for the GT. And I managed to cast that in just a regular vulcanizing press.
Yeah.
And turn that into a metal miniature, because it wasn't metal. It was like a 3D print that I turned resin, and then it was a resin and I turned it into metal. So
yeah,
can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's doing here with the stuff that he sent out to you this time. So,
I didn't realize that was how it was done.
So he's got 3D prints it and then it gets turned into metal.
Yeah.
So there's also stuff on the thing, but I mean, the 3D printing world, it may be the greatest thing that ever happens to Warmaster, or it may be the fucking nightmare that wipes out all the traditional manufacturers. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, we can, but wait and see. But it's, you can't stop progress in that sense, is it? And if that is progress, it's good. I mean, as a game system, it probably fits home printing really well, because the stuff is small. It can be, and home printers can do fine detail, and it's like, thus smaller stuff is probably easier to print. I don't know.
Yeah, it was certainly easier and cheaper. It's certainly easier to print 10 mil than 28 mil.
Because
there's less of it, isn't there?
Because that's why, like, GW going forward would do a lot bigger stuff, because that's hard to print at home.
Yeah, for sure. Or maybe they'll just come in and then they'll start doing STLs for 10 mil as well. Who knows?
Well, I think that's what you'd expect them to do, like, sooner or later. It's like, right, this is a new market. We have to put our stamp to, and the STL of this model is whatever they decide to work out how they're going to sell that, compared to also selling the physical model itself.
It'd be like the equivalent of selling you an ebook.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now we're also selling e-models.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. E-magazine or whatever. They sell e-everything, don't they? So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait and see. Yeah, you can't hide from progress. That is 100% true. You can't hide from it.
Well, but, no, you say, and you know, it's... It would be a shame if it changes some things, perhaps not for the better, but I say, it is inevitable, isn't it? You know, it's like right up to the point where, oh, I've got a, I've invented this machine that just materializes food out of thin air, etc. Like, that will change farming. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, that would put farmers out of business. But, you know, I'm talking like Star Trek here. It's just like, the overall, the world's a better place.
Yeah, I mean, my concern isn't about manufacturers who are like artisans. Yeah.
My
concern would be for people who who've built a business on maybe selling two or three models in a unit.
Yeah.
That's where it's financially viable. So you have a unit of infantry, 24 infantry, and there's like two models in there. Because that's at that point you can make money. You pay a sculptor. Yeah. And you can, but the problem is that why would I want a unit of two models when I can get a similarly priced printed unit that's got fucking 24 different models, effectively.
Yeah, exactly. But those who fail to change with the times are destined to remain consigned to history, aren't they? It's like, you know, if you're HMV and you're selling CDs and CDs become an outmoded concept and you don't modernise, you don't go with the flow, you get put out of business.
Yeah, or you go back and do vinyl. This is the only thing you can
do. Yeah, or you find a market in something else. Or, you know, you need to... I mean, I'm afraid you just need to continually adapt, isn't it? You know, in a sense, it's like, okay, so this is... You know, if you're selling a product, you've got to be fluid and be like, right, this is now how the product is made now. We need to move with the times or go out of business.
Evolve or die. Right, okay. So we're nearly there. We've done well today. We can talk. The last thing we got to talk about is it's another thing. Listener contact, right?
Mm.
I think we both answered this one, so I won't share this one. We'll just talk over it. So, has he got his name? I'm not sure it had his name on the front page. Oh, shit. You remember his name? Clayton, I think his name was.
Uh-huh.
Clayton. So he said, just, and I think this was a few weeks back, but we've been busy and stuff. And just wanted to say, love the podcast, brand new to the game. Again, mm-hmm. as well. I've been working on basing and painting 1700 points Empire and 950 point Chaos. My brother-in-law had, and we dug out of storage. He never did anything with. Cool. Yeah, nice. Also found a good deal on Tomb King's Army, plus saw some stand-ins here and there. Hadn't played yet. Because life, and I know no one around here that plays, but recently found your podcast and found Tabletop Simulator, which has all the stuff in workshop to play. Very good recreation of playing in person. Yeah. I mean, Ross did some amazing work around that, Tabletop Simulator. As this finished painting the three armies and finished collecting Chaos up to 2000. Found tokens for the other armies to print out. I only listened back from 2017. Jesus. You've been longer than that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. That's before you had kids.
Yeah.
But if you need a show idea, I haven't seen one as I've been going through. A couple would be, one, army tier discussion. Oh, Jesus wept. Jesus Christ. But you mentioned doing this after all of your army reviews are done. Yeah. Something that would be quite nice to add in your tier list is ease of acquiring. So a tier one army might lose status for a new player just because it's a bitch to find and source minis. Whereas plutonium...
That's a genuine... That is a good point.
Lizardmen are awesome, but hard as hell to find.
Not if you go on eBay at the moment. There's a recaster who's running it like a business. Honestly, he's called the Zapper. Yeah, and he's like Lizardmen. He's got that...
Where's he based? That. Italy? Germany?
I don't know, but... It's a business model.
Well, there was one saying that maybe a year and a half ago. There was one based in Stockport that mm-hmm. he was only on for like a weekend, and he had a fucking shit ton of stuff on there for like a weekend. Yeah. It all vanished because it was bought out like instantly. I think it was like $10 a unit or something, £10 a unit, and it was just bought out instantly.
Yeah.
So Lizardmen. Lizardmen are awesome, but GW, the originals are really hard to come by unless you buy them off Clarkie for 50 quid.
Well, that, or yeah, and he doesn't know what he's selling. Or
I didn't know what he was buying.
Or you don't know what he's buying.
An army.
Yeah, or you're happy to have recast and then just get on eBay and order your army. Yeah, it's like you know when something like, hey, he's not even hiding like what he's doing. He's like, here they are. It's like, he's got a half dozen ranges there. You just literally click and then, like, it's where I'm for my Bretonians that I'm doing as my next project after these two, this last Gondor Warrior I'm working on. I'm doing the Bretonians as both, as Teutonic Knights. I needed a couple of extra units of Squires and I just went on eBay and just ordered them from the recaster. They came, the quality's good. I'm like, I don't mind.
You know, How much?
£10 a unit.
Oh, this sounds like him, the guy from Stockport from a year ago or more. But mm-hmm. if we aren't going to protect it, so yeah, it's all my problem, is it? I can't do anything about it. I'm worried about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a topic we've said about before, but personally, I don't mind like buying. So all I care about is really is the quality. Like, is it well made?
You've got to be fair. You can't say that I'm going to be happy paying £40 a unit, because that's never going to be happy. £10 a unit, fair dinkum, mate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You haven't paid anybody to sculpt it or anything.
No.
So £10 a unit, fair is fair. But if you want like £30-40 a unit, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you also said the best way to learn is playing with someone who can teach you. Couldn't agree more. There are a few far between a show or a video. This couldn't have run this. Go and look on the video now. Peter Lamb's video.
Yeah, that'll teach
me. Which, even simple stuff. Yeah. Do generals pay command penalties for distance? Yes.
Yes.
Can a sorcerer even command units more than once, since they very quickly move out of range 20? Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
Range 20 for the second order. You can order mm-hmm. a time if you keep them in range 20. Mm-hmm. If you've made this, and I haven't found it anyway, love the show, stay. If you've made this, I just haven't found it anyway. No, we haven't made the tier list. To be fair, as Paul said, the kind of level of recasts that are available now, I mean, there are a lot of people. There's an Italian guy, there's a German guy, looks like there's an English guy.
Yeah, I mean, at the time of recording, I was saying availability. It would always be in quota at time of recording, isn't it? Yeah, because at time of recording, you could say a Lizardman army is available to order from a recaster on eBay. Does he stay there in 6 months' time? I don't know. But it's time.
I might get a second unit of Pterodons now, because I've got a Eureka as my second unit of Pterodons.
Well, you could pick them up for no effort at all, Barry. He even combines postage.
Of course he does. Right, okay, right. So I said, thanks for the message. We'll discuss with Paul. And then Paul, obviously being Paul, thank you. Nice feedback. Good to have. Important question, who's your favourite host? Me. Love me. Paul does go on a bit about his week. Fucking too, right?
Cheeky.
But I'm a rambler too, so kettle. I would say the dynamic between you spot on. Granted, it's less than ideal listening to weekly stuff from 3 years ago. Yeah, I can imagine that. Try listening to this in 3 years' time. When I'm trying to figure out if I should bother with Dark Elves. You should definitely bother with them.
It's
starting to pretend. Pretending life is normal, so that's a plus. Yeah, that's true. If you go back 3 years, there'll be no mention of the madness we're living in now. Oh,
no.
First game on Tabletop Simulator, play Tomb Kings versus Dark Elves. First command roll to Dark Elves, rolled plus six.
Well, that's telling you should play them more. Yeah.
What was the first time you played them in Bruno? What happened?
I rolled a double six, but it didn't matter because the campaign allowed me to ignore that.
You shouldn't have ignored it, though, should you? You were so big up about it's never going to happen. And even if it happens, they'll just kill him. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it didn't happen because I negated it.
So this fella said, first command roll ever in any game of Warmaster ever was a double six.
You'll be a fantastic general.
Just spend your 30 points. Don't be a mug.
No, it's a waste of points.
It's definitely not a waste of points. Right, so we've been on for about an hour and 10, so that's perfect. That's perfect. Next week, we're going to talk about Cromarty Forge for sure. I don't know. We've got loads of stuff. Sherman wants to come and talk about Albion. We'll see if we can get...
Did we mention... Oh, yeah, of course we did. Like,
what? Mention what?
There's something else I just got to say. So on our gaming club, which is obviously online at the moment, there's been a lot of interest in a game system called Black Powder by Warlord Games, written by Rick Priestley.
I knew that.
And he's literally used Warmaster as its core, as its movement. So it's a Napoleonic game.
Mate. I ain't interested. If I'm not sharp, you can shove it, mate.
Yeah, okay, so yes, you can be British, can't you?
But no, I don't want to be British. I want to be sharp, mate, with the fucking Essex rifles or whatever they are.
All right, well, yes, you can be. Yeah, and like...
You're going to be French, yeah, or something?
I'm going to be French, yeah.
Like, moustache, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. So, but I'm just saying, that the How to Play video, which obviously has the man himself in it, Rick Priestley, Warlord's own like production. It's brilliant because he literally like, so he goes on camera, you know, like, and basically says, so, and he says like, right, so the setup was, we were playing the Polionics, like him, Jervis Johnson, the Perrys, like, because they're obviously, they're all friends, aren't they? They know each other, and they like hang out, like a gaming club. So they were playing, but they wanted to play more Napoleonics, but basically, he didn't say these words, but basically said, but all the rule systems were shit. Like,
not only
like,
shit, it was, you need fucking billions of models.
Basically, and that was it as well. It's like, by the time we got anywhere in a game, it was midnight, and we had to like, ever always stop, so because it took too long.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, what can we do about this? And it's just like, Jervis Johnson said, well, why don't you, we could use Warmaster, that would probably work. And Priest is like, yeah, right. So literally they took Warmaster all set and just hammered it into Napoleonics. And it's like, its movement is Warmaster. So it's well, like,
I'm going to share. Let's go and have a look.
Yeah. I didn't realize, no one ever told me that, it's actually got a lot of, its core is Warmaster.
You see it?
I can, yeah. Is that the same video? Oh, no, that's a promo video for it. Yeah. It's a how to play, you know, how to play Black Powder. That's, yeah, that's the game system.
Jack Lucky.
You ever seen Master and Commander?
Yeah. Right, so there's a second edition, basically.
Yeah. Right, so, good. I mean, so there you go. And you can just, and it was just cool, like, just seeing Rick Priestley, like, so he they had the starter set out, and it's very Warmaster in the sense it's abstract. So the models don't represent that amount of models on the table.
Right.
So like, here's your battalion or whatever, of British infantry. It isn't one for one. It's like they represent, you know, like 500 men or something, but they're just built in building blocks. It's very warm. They're set basing sizes, and the base, and it doesn't matter how many models you put on the base.
Yeah, but this is the same with all those historical games that I play, DBA and DBM. Yeah. Stuff. It's basically the base size is the only thing that matters. You can have a blank base, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, no, it's just cool. So, obviously,
28 mil, game.
But Warlord stuff, I mean, old Perry miniatures, dirt cheap stuff, plastics. It's like, that is not expensive. Yeah, like, so when we're allowed to play games again, like, yeah, it's, see what it's like.
But you need a book, it's about 30 quid for the book, and then what? Why not Hail Caesar? Why have you gone for this and not Hail Caesar?
I didn't suggest it, to be honest. It's just like, it just got a lot of guys' interest, you know.
Rib,
like,
Rib started getting everything.
Yeah, up,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be sold by the end of the year. You won't have even fucking played a game.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like, it wasn't, you know, so literally, Nick dropped some French round to me and was like, okay, cool, you know, and I'm going to do a commission for him, so it doesn't even, like, doesn't even cost me any money.
So, what I'll do is do you know what Army Rid's doing?
Portuguese.
I'm not sure I'm that interested in that. I'll just buy whatever he sells when he's had enough of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, okay. Well, that'll be interesting. Maybe one day if we ever get out of lockdown. I mean, from what I'm hearing, it ain't anytime soon.
It's hard to know, isn't it? Because what we're told and the way the government acts are different things, aren't they? Like,
I only listen to the scientific guys. Now they're not even saying they're following the science, and they hide the scientists. They weren't there today again.
Yeah, they weren't there. Well, they weren't there yesterday.
They've
got to set them up to be blamed at some point.
They weren't there yesterday. And the guy in America, Fauci, he's fucking disappeared. The problem is that politics and science, you can only follow the science till you don't want to follow the science. And then you can
say, yeah.
We're not following the science no more.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, you said about recording in person, but there is little point recording outdoors at 2 meters distance.
Yeah.
And I can't even do that at the moment because I'm isolated.
Well, no, but I mean, you couldn't because of this, of your, you're going to follow this medical advice, you know, but, you know, we could do that. Like, that's...
What, do what? Not do anything at 2 meters. What can you do?
put the thing in the middle, and like it'd have to be a quiet outdoors, wouldn't it? It's like lots of tweeting of birds going past and stuff. Oh, it's a train. You're like, oh, it's a car. Yeah.
Fire engine. Mm-hmm. Really work. Anyway, that was quite a nice episode. Well, I think Sherwin's on next week, or if not, we'll be talking.
Yeah.
So that was episode 142. Get us in the usual places.
Yeah.
Stay safe, Paul.
Stay safe.
Yeah, see ya.
Would you like to know more?